Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game. Come on!
If I had to put one guy into a list of guys in the NFL where if they might be injured or might be hurt, I could trust that they're going to put they're going to play in that next week. And I'll tell you who that name is. That name is George Kittle. And that man, George Kittle, for the first time in a while, we saw him on the 49ers injury report yesterday, as the new injury reports for both teams, for the 49ers and the Packers, were released. Good morning, everyone. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading you up till 6 o'clock. And then Jolo and Dibs will take you the rest of the way. Looking forward to 9 o'clock when we're getting some fans in here into the studio. So that'll be a lot of fun. But Chilton Autobody text line 95795. If you want to get any thoughts out on what we're talking about today, Aaron Rodgers, he spoke with Brett Favre on Brett Favre's SiriusXM NFL radio show and got a couple of Aaron Rodgers doesn't say much, but he did say a couple of things to Brett Favre that I think stood out, so we'll get to that. Joe Staley, he's going to be our interview of the day. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. That'll be coming up at 5:40. But I do want to talk about these injury reports, though, because it's funny. I was looking at that, and I saw George Kittle misses practice. And I thought, okay, with what? It says with an ankle injury. And I said, did he sustain this in practice? And then it turns out that the ankle injury is still lingering on from Saturday. So this man, who's already played with a bone chip in his ankle, he came back in his first game against the Packers and caught 6 receptions on his 6 targets for 129 yards, a touchdown, and he also had that 61-yard touchdown reception in the finality of the game, really to seal the deal there, to put them over 30 points and to kind of just drive the dagger into the hearts of Packers fans. But George Kittle did miss practice yesterday with his ankle injury. So we'll keep an eye on that. And D Ford, he didn't practice either, but that's expected. And I do want to know from you, Chilton Autobody text line 95795. We saw D Ford play 22 snaps in this last game. Quan Alexander actually only played 25, so just 3 more snaps. But I do want to know from you on the Chilton Autobody text line, the key to stopping this Packers team and what they did in this last game and what's going to be the key again is for the 49er defense to set the tone early and not let the Packers offense get into any sort of rhythm. So I want the defense to get after the quarterback. And to me, I think that D Ford, he didn't start in this last game. He came in on certain third down situations. But in this game, in the first quarter, I want to see him going out there for the first couple of downs. I don't want him being just a defensive end that goes out there on third down. I want him out there on the first 2 downs. Do you want him out there quickly? Chilton Autobody text line 95795. That's what I want to know from you with D Ford. Even though he's not practicing so far, his hamstring is bothering him, his quad and his hamstring, but he is expected to play. So is George Kittle. And George Kittle, I don't know if there's a player that I'm worried less about than if they do miss practice with an injury, because you know George Kittle is going to be playing. But Dee Ford, though, is one that we have been monitoring, and we saw the impact that he made on the field when he was there. The defense looked of old again, and it wasn't any surprise. It wasn't any coincidence after we read all those stats about how many pressures Nick Bosa gets when Dee Ford's on the field as opposed to when he's off the field. So I do want to know from you, Chilton Autobody text line 95795, whether you think Dee Ford should actually start. Because I'd be totally okay if they brought Dee Ford out there right away and just let Arik Armstead carry the load for the rest of the game if they happen to get ahead. But I think in order to set that tone early on defense and not let Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, any of those guys get into some sort of rhythm, I think starting out there with Dee Ford, getting a three and out on the first drive, that would be money. That would be the thing you need to do. And from the 415, how many total plays were there on defense? 34, he played 22 snaps, which accounted for 34% of the snaps on defense. So not that much. Only around 60 to 70 snaps when, I mean, they were getting the Vikings defense off the field quick. So it was a little less than 50, 34%. So he was out there a little more than I actually expected. The one who was out the least than I expected was Solomon Thomas. He was only out there for 14 snaps. I expected him to get a pretty healthy dose in putting only Dee Ford in certain situations, but they put Dee Ford a pretty healthy amount out there. But I'd be okay in this game just with starting him right out the gate, putting him in there for the first couple of downs, not making him be this third down defensive end. From the 510, absolutely have to have him out there. Lay it all out on the line. If you win, you have the next week off. If you lose, you have several months to heal and get better. Also from the 510, yes, start Dee Ford. I'm with it. I'm absolutely with it. When I saw that Dee Ford was missing practice yesterday, he's just getting like he's proven that he's a veteran, right? He's proven that he could come out from an injury. He doesn't necessarily need an entire week of practice to get back into the swing of things. He can just go right back onto the field. And he participated in walkthroughs, so I'm not going to say he was just completely out of it. He still, you know, went out and stretched and did all those things. He just didn't practice. So I think starting Dee Ford would be just as advantageous, like more than any time. Start Dee Ford now, get to Aaron Rodgers early, and don't let him get into a rhythm. Because when he was on Brett Favre's radio show on SiriusXM NFL, he, quote, "We know we have to start fast and find a way to get that crowd out of it, just a little quieter." And then they talked about the taunting penalty that went on Devontae Adams on that second snap. I forgot about that. I completely forgot about that. That stupid taunting penalty that Devontae Adams had on Emmanuel Mosley. Speaking of which, going to talk a little bit about Emmanuel Mosley and Akello Witherspoon coming up here, because there's something I noticed from that last matchup, which is pretty interesting. But he was talking about this taunting penalty. They gained a first down on this pass. And then Devontae Adams gets in Mosley's face right away and then gets a flag, and they go back. And then what do you know? Fred Warner gets to the quarterback. They fumble, and then they're down 7-0 after that. But he quoted, "We have to start fast. That's the key. That play was important. That was a 10-yard game. We were outside the 40 now. Then we get a 15-yarder and back inside the 30. Then I fumble, and it's 13 minutes on the clock, and it's 7-0. We're down." So that play, I know we don't really take this much into account because of how badly the 49ers beat down the Packers, but it's little things like that, little game changers like that, which can make an entire difference in the game. Say Devontae Adams doesn't get that penalty, right? And they're sticking to that script. They're sticking to that first 15-play script that every coach and quarterback draws up when they go out there. Say they're sticking to that, and they're on the 40. We could have been looking at a situation. I'm not saying the 49ers would have lost if that taunting penalty didn't happen. That'd be irresponsible to say that. But I'm just saying, if Aaron Rodgers were able to get downfield on that first drive and they were to go up 7-0, who knows? We might not be looking at the same game. And we got to remember, too, that it was the second half where really the 49ers started to put it on them. The 49ers were only up 13-0 going into halftime, or at least toward toward about a minute left in halftime. Then they ended, all of a sudden went up 20 to nothing. So, like, getting off to the quick start against Aaron Rodgers, to me, is what's most important. So I think in that case, you got to start D Ford. And from the 925, you have to consider D Ford isn't the best at run support, and Eric Armstead is, and GB will definitely try to establish the run. I agree with that. I can agree with that, that Eric Armstead has been great against the run. But in this instance, to me, the Packers aren't so much that team. I mean, they're going to want to try to establish the run, but it is hard to do that with Aaron Jones. I know he leads the league in touchdowns, and he has 16 on the season. But there are those players who just get those touchdowns in certain situations because they happen to have advantageous field position at the time. Aaron Rodgers is who they use to get downfield. They don't really try and use Aaron Jones too much. They did against the Seahawks a little bit, but I think that starting D Ford and getting to Aaron Rodgers, that'd be the primary way they'd try and get downfield. So I think starting D Ford would be a little more beneficial to them. But I mean, where can you go wrong in the end? I mean, I'm talking about all this, but where can you really go wrong? Is it going to make that much of a difference if you do start? If they start Eric Armstead, I'm not going to be mad. You know, I'm not going to be mad. But to me, D Ford is the one that can get to the quarterback quicker. He's the one who makes a bigger difference on the line. This is what he's the type of guy that makes guards kind of think about what they have to do. And that's what makes not only is the power and the physicality of the defensive line that what makes him so ferocious, but it's mostly how they make these offensive linemen think. And D Ford, to me, makes the offensive linemen think a little more than, say, if Eric Armstead were out there. Eric Armstead could just beat someone one-on-one. You know, they don't think, oh, I need to double team this guy. I need to double team this guy. They think they're going to take their chances on Eric Armstead, which is primarily why I think he's had a lot of success, is because these guys just feel like, no, I'll take him one-on-one. And then, you know, that ends up being a mistake because Eric Armstead's so damn big. From the 408, what do you think about the other Bosa brother trying to come to the 49ers in free agency? There's a lot that comes with that. I was looking into that yesterday. There were so many people who were talking about, you know, you could flip D Ford for that. You could do all these certain things. But to me, it's just there's so like it could happen eventually. I'm not saying it's going to happen this season. Look, it's early in the Nick Bosa tenure. Right? He just won Rookie of the Year. So that means 3 more years on the deal. So it doesn't have to happen this specific year. I could see it happening down the line when they've worked around the salary cap a little bit more. This year it's not going to happen. And anyone who thinks they could just trade away D Ford, I know I'm talking about how he could be a force inside there, but also if you're going to trade for a guy like that, you want that guy to play all 16 games. Like, let's look at, say, Frank Clark, who went to the Chiefs. Frank Clark played a good chunk of the season, and look at the difference that he's making over on the Chiefs' defensive line. You need that from D Ford. And, I mean, that'd be just tough to do, but, I mean, it could happen. It could happen. If that were to happen, Joey Bosa on one side and Nick Bosa on the other side, and then DeForest Buckner will be there because you just assume that DeForest Buckner is going to get paid. Man, that could be built to last right there. That could be built to last. All right, want to talk about Kyle Shanahan's comments. He talked about Jimmy Garoppolo. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. I want you to listen because he says that his injury was a blessing in disguise. I'll play that sound for you next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford. Hey.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. 3 generations, 65 years of experience, and 7 Bay Area locations gives us the winning edge. When you succeed, we succeed. GoldenStateLumber.com. This is one of my favorite instrumentals coming off his Mac Miller's new album of Swimming. And I believe the posthumous album, if that's how you pronounce it, Circles, is going to be coming out tomorrow. And I am going to be an emotional wreck listening to that thing because he came out with that new single, Good News. And I was an emotional wreck listening to that and then watching the music video for that. So tomorrow, it's going to be a little bit of an emotional day. Chilton Auto Body text line, 957-95-888-957-9570. If you want to get in on the conversation, as you know, leading up to 6 o'clock here will be Jolo and Dibs, and they'll take you on to 10 o'clock, and it'll be Bonte, Steiny, and Guru, then Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky. And looking forward to any of the listeners, if you might be listening, who are coming in today at 9 o'clock. They'll be in studio. They'll be in the studio from 9 to 11, so looking forward to that. Earlier on in the show, talked a little bit just about the injury report that came out from the 49ers. This was the first one that's come out so far before the NFC Championship, and we had George Kittle, who missed practice with a little bit of a lingering ankle injury. But I unless you tell me his foot is chopped off, you could expect George Kittle to play, and he is fully expected to play. So that injury is nothing to worry about. That's just what they had to put on the injury report. D. Ford didn't practice either. He did go through walkthroughs, but didn't practice yesterday. And I think this is what we've been discussing so far. I think that D. Ford needs to, and when I say we, I'm talking about you and me and the listener, you and I. I don't have anyone else in the room with me. I got you and the Chilton Auto Body text line, but we've been discussing D. Ford here starting in this game. I think he needs to set that tone early against Aaron Rodgers, who wants to try and quiet down the crowd. That's going to be his goal, is to not, you know, the crowd's going to be loud regardless at the beginning of the game, but nothing is more deflating than, say, if the Packers come out with the ball first and they just score right away. That's something that could take the crowd out of it. And that's not to say the crowd won't get back into it eventually into the game, but that's just one of the things that the opposing teams can do whenever they go into your home field. And speaking of which, just a couple of things that are a little different from this last matchup. So they went to LA 2 weeks prior to the bye week, and they played the Chargers and lost 26-11. Now, apparently, they were in California, and they had a little too much fun the couple of nights before. And that's, quote-unquote, why they lost, according to Aaron Rodgers. They had a little too much fun in L.A. Then they went back home, played Carolina, beat Carolina at Lambeau Field. And then they had the bye week, and then were here to play the 49ers. And I think there is something to, maybe they didn't prepare as well as they should have, at least the offensive line, because the offensive line looked porous against that 49ers front. So it could be a little different now that they have a week to just prepare and look ahead at this game, and that's it, prepare for this game mentally. Again, it's hard for me to look at that last game, though, with the 49ers and the Packers and really make even more excuses for the Packers. Like, there's not enough to the point where it's like, if this didn't happen, then I think the Packers would have won. No, the 49ers just completely dominated that game. That's why I can't come up with any good reason as to how the Packers are going to win this game coming up on Sunday. But you know what? The only way I think that can happen, again, is if the 49ers somehow just shoot themselves in the foot. I don't know why that's always the saying that we have to use when we talk about self-inflicted mistakes. But I guess it's just the Plaxico Burress effect. But that's just the key for them, is just to not make their own mistakes, because the Packers barely made any mistakes. Those turnovers that they had in this last matchup, they were all because of the 49ers. The 49ers forced those turnovers. It wasn't the Packers who forced those turnovers themselves. So I think that's what could happen to have the 49ers lose, is just self-inflicted mistakes. But other than that, they're overall the better team. They're the more complete team. And despite Jimmy Garoppolo being a little bit less of a quarterback than Aaron Rodgers, that doesn't matter because of what he's got around him. To me, that doesn't matter. Chilton Auto Body text line, 957-95, if you want to get in on the conversation. Jimmy Garoppolo, now, he spoke after practice yesterday. They had their media availability. And he said something that reminded me of a certain Bay Area team. And Kyle Shanahan then also compared the 49ers wide receivers to the certain Bay Area teams. Here are those sound clips. Here's Jimmy Garoppolo talking about his injury from last year.
Things have a way of working out. I always told myself it was a blessing in disguise, you know, the ACL and everything, and we got Bosa out of it. So, I mean, that's a pretty good trade-off, I guess. Things have a way of working out, I guess. Just this ride is crazy. You just got to roll with the punches.
So the year was tough, but I think that last year with Jimmy being out, you didn't have D Ford. You didn't have Nick Bosa. You didn't have Quan Alexander. So who knows if this defense would have been the same. But Jimmy Garoppolo called his injury a blessing in disguise, and that's could be what we're seeing, I'm just saying, with the Golden State Warriors right now. With Steph and Klay being out, and them not exactly being the best team in the NBA, as a matter of fact, being one of the worst, and having a good chance to get a top five, even top three pick in the draft, kind of reminds me a little bit of the Warriors. But Kyle Shanahan talked about his 49ers wide receivers, and he compared them to the Golden State Warriors.
I remember saying in Atlanta, even when we were there, that I wanted our receiver group to be similar to the Warriors, to where who knows who the starter is. They all play Andre Iguodala, things like that. I think he wasn't the starter, and then he's the conference finals or whatever it's called, NBA championship, MVP. Seven games that mattered at the end. So, I mean, you think of stuff like that, and that stuff, you got an MVP, you got a defensive MVP, you just got guys who seem really not to care how it gets done. They all just go out there and ball and see where the weakness in the defense is, and wherever that ends up, that guy shoots. And that's a lot how I see offense.
Yeah, who is that, the Andre Iguodala of this team? Because football is a little different. You don't have a guy like a... You don't always have a six man who comes off the bench and has to run the second team, run that second rotation, and kind of lead them on defense. But who would be that Andre Iguodala? I guess if you had to choose one guy, be the veteran of that wide receiver corps, it'd be Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, coming in via trade. Emmanuel Sanders would probably be that guy if I had to compare him to some sort of Andre Iguodala character, a guy who's their go-to guy on third down, although Kendrick Bourne was actually that go-to guy on third down in this last game. But Emmanuel Sanders might be that guy. But yeah, you see a lot of similar. It's funny when you see the reason we're able to draw comparisons so often is we've drawn comparisons from the 49ers to the Warriors before. And the reason that we're able to do that is because the 49ers, they're a championship caliber team. And when you got championship caliber teams like that, you can compare them to championship teams of the past. And it just so happens that the team with the most championships in the past decade, the Golden State Warriors. It's funny how that works out. Chilton Autobody text line from the 925. Jimmy G and his interception count will be a major factor. You know what? He's going to give you that one. He's going to give you that one interception, that boneheaded one, which makes you scratch your head. But he never throws the interceptions in times where they're crucial, in times where the games are out of reach. He's never done that in the final drive of a fourth quarter. He didn't do that against the Rams on those two third and 16s. He almost did against the Seahawks, but they managed to drop a couple of those passes, both KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner, in that first Seahawks game back over in week 10. There were a couple of throws there that were close to being intercepted at the wrong time, but they weren't. It's interceptions, they're going to happen for quarterbacks, but the timing of the interceptions are what matters. And it seems like any of the interceptions that Jimmy Garoppolo's thrown in these games in the past, they've come at times where they can at least come back and make up for it. it's funny to say that because you don't want a guy who turns the ball over. You don't want a Jameis Winston. Although, you know what? Actually, having Jameis Winston on your team, it'd be the most exciting thing to watch just because you really don't know what the hell he's going to do with the ball in his hands. But Jimmy Garoppolo is going to make those interceptions from time to time. It just all depends on the timing of them. From the 408, you know what? Thank you. Sherman is the 49ers, Andre. I like that. And I was thinking about this yesterday on my drive home. Richard Sherman. And the reason I was thinking about this, because on the Dan Le Batard show, Aaron Rodgers joined them, and Dan Le Batard's last question was, Richard Sherman, you ducking him? And he basically just said, nope, I'm going to shake his hand and be respectful, and it's all love, all part of the love of the game. He's like, well, are you going to throw to his side? And Aaron Rodgers is like,
Well, if the opportunity presents itself, then I might do that. And so, you know, I was going to play the sound clip for you, but then I heard it and I was just like, this isn't really, the audio is not really that great. Aaron Rodgers doesn't sound enthusiastic about answering any of the questions at all. But Aaron Rodgers, though, he has that older confidence, you know, even though the young bucks are coming in and it's always a bunch of new guys that he's playing against and you're seeing the other guys go to TV and all that sort of stuff. He actually talked about that with Brett Favre a little bit, too, but he feels like that the wisdom that he's gained after being older, even though the athleticism sort of drains naturally that comes with age, the athleticism that goes away, well, it makes up for it in brains. And that's exactly what's happened with Richard Sherman. And I'd like to think that with Richard Sherman, that his it's hard to imagine that when he was on the Seahawks and he was the leader of the Legion of Boom, that, or at least he was the face of the Legion of Boom, I would like to think that when he was on the Seahawks, that's as high as his confidence has ever been. But right now, the numbers that he's putting up, at least the numbers that opposing quarterbacks are putting up against him, it's crazy. You do not see that for cornerbacks his age, not often. So I think that when he's looking at these numbers and he's gone through a full season doing this, not really getting hurt. You know, a couple of times he's had to leave for a drive or two, but for the most part, staying healthy. Richard Sherman, to me, his confidence right now, with the wisdom that he has, I know that, you know, with age, your athleticism might go away a little bit, but you can only get smarter, and you're smarter than these quarterbacks that are facing you. So his confidence must be sky high right now, and especially with that pass rush, his confidence, it's got to be a different type. I can't say that he's more confident than he was than when he was with the Seahawks, but there's got to be a different kind of confidence that comes with having that wisdom, knowing that you know more than these young guys that are getting out on the field. So I was just thinking about that yesterday. It's funny that you bring up Sherman as the Iguodala of this team. I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. From the 510, Mostert is the Iggy. He's not a starter, but is clearly the best player off the bench. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about how Raheem Mostert needs to be the starter. I was talking about that toward the latter half of the season because I felt that Tevin Coleman toward the end, I mean, he wasn't averaging more than 3 yards a carry anytime he'd get a bulk of them. But then Tevin Coleman goes out and has a 100-yard rushing game. I really just, as far as who they start at running back, I don't care. Like, it feels like you can be successful either way. It feels like one of them can break out. And if the run game doesn't work, then you're going to have to put the game in the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's fine, too. But in the end, the run game, the way Kyle Shanahan draws it up, it's hard to imagine any running back having a bad game when you got Kyle Shanahan coaching you up. So really, when it comes to the run game, don't care who they start anymore. I was adamant about starting Raheem Mostert because I felt like he was the most talented back. But if you start Tevin Coleman, okay. If you start Matt Breida, I might scratch my head a little bit and ask, why are you doing that? But in the end, there's going to be some sort of reason because they're going to get in all three of those guys for at least 5-6 carries a game and then a couple of them 10-plus. And if they hope that they can run the ball more than 30 times, in which case they're going to be running a lot more than what I just mentioned. But, I mean, at this point, I don't really care who they start. I trust Kyle Shanahan to start whoever he feels like can get the start and whoever has the best matchup. All right, coming up, going to play our interview of the day. Find out what that is next. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
You working? What kind of work do you do?
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Shout out DJ Premier. Shout out Guru. The pregame show on 95.7 The Game is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations across the Bay Area, we offer next day delivery. Now that's a winning game plan. Golden State Lumber. .com. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 925. I see it coming down to Aaron Rodgers on a two-minute drill with a Sherman interception or a Bosa sack for the win. I love those scenarios that are thrown out there because those are the ones that would make the game most exciting, right? Now, you know what? I don't want it coming down to Aaron Rodgers' two-minute drill. I don't want it being at that point. I don't want to risk that. And then I understand that a Sherman interception or a Bosa sack for the win would be sick, but I don't want that coming down to that. I don't want, like I want the 49ers to have a healthy lead if the Packers are going to have the last possession of the game. I just want them to try and air it out and see the Niners and prevent defense, and then coming down to the point where Jimmy Garoppolo is kneeling down for in victory formation. I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers going down to the two-minute drill. It was the same conversation in Week 17 when talking about Russell Wilson, too. I mean, if I had my choice, I wouldn't want to see Russell Wilson on the field in the final 2 minutes at all. At all. If I had my choice, I'd like to see it come down to Jimmy Garoppolo in the last 3 minutes running out the clock and then getting into victory formation and ending the game, running a couple of first downs. That's what I'd like to see. I don't want to see it coming down to a 2 minute drill for Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that 925. I like how you're thinking outside of the box though. And that would be a way to kind of solidify Bosa for his rookie of the year candidacy. It would be a way to solidify Sherman as the best cornerback left in the playoffs. But also, I don't want to see it coming down to that. I don't want to see it coming down to that. From the 510, I want to see a Richie James backflip. Yeah. That is one of the things that blows the mind. You know, there are a few things that athletes do where you're just, not few things, there are many things that athletes do where you can look at it and you just say, yeah, I can't do that. But there's also some times where you think, you know what, with enough practice, if I were to really work on that, I probably could do that. But the backflip in pads, standing up, nah, I can't do that. That's just, no, nope, big nope. That's the biggest nope I've ever noped. All right, it's time for our interview of the day. So stupid. Offensive tackle for the 49ers, Joe Staley, who, by the way, in the past three games has allowed one pressure. He's our interview of the day, and I do want to play Kyle Shanahan's sound clip on him, talking about him at media availability, but Joe Staley was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. But first, here's Kyle Shanahan talking about Joe Staley.
I always go off the tape and, you know, look like a guy who should be considering retirement. I mean, I thought he looked as good when we got here as he ever had, and I think he looks even better now. So that always surprised me, but I think Joe really loves football, and I don't think he was having that much fun. It's never fun when you aren't winning. And then that's what was hard for me. You know, I thought he did buy in and to start out 0-9 and to watch his frustration with that, but he kept doing it the right way and then to go 4-12. And I think, you know, Joe can play and his body's good, but I think guys do get sick of losing and stuff, but I think he's having a lot of fun playing now. I think he always has, but now with how good the team is around him and stuff, you guys would have to ask him, but hopefully he's not thinking about that as much anymore.
There's always one guy on the team that you want to get that ring, and Joe Staley would probably be number one in the eyes of 49er fans if I had to guess, but he was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. He is our interview of the day. We understand here on the pregame show at 5 in the morning that you can't listen to every single minute of every single day, every single interview, fantastic interview that we have here on 95.7 The Game. So we like to replay them for you around 5:40. Here is Joe Staley on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday.
Been there, done that, seen it all. That's the best way to describe Joe Staley, which makes him the perfect guest right now as the Niners get ready to host yet another NFC title game. Joe Staley, left tackle, six-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro, joining us here, Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. Joe, thank you very much. In a busy week, we certainly appreciate your time. How are you, sir?
Oh, doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. You guys are doing very, very well. At what point did you know Minnesota was in trouble?
Oh, man. We felt like we had a great week of preparation, great week of practice. And I think that's what it, you know, really comes down to during the week, you know, especially in the playoff times. Everybody can look at games and, you know, pinpoint a moment or two when games kind of change. But I always look at the preparation and week in practice and you know, treating it like we do every single week in the season. So, you know, I thought the guys are really locked in and focused. And I think that was, you know, the start of a good game plan and good game.
If you knew before the game even kicked off they were in trouble, are the Green Bay Packers in trouble?
Well, today we had a great practice, and, you know, it was Wednesday, so we got a lot more to do and accomplish during the work week. But, you know, guys are very focused right now, and I love our mindset that we're taking into this week, and, you know, it's just business as usual. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff to do still.
In the game itself, at what point did you feel like we've got this, barring catastrophe?
I mean, it felt good having that one situation where we were able to run the ball, I think, 8 straight times and go down the field. And, you know, that was the game plan going in and being able to run the ball and be successful and efficient on first and second down running the ball.
Don't sell yourself really short. There was 12 straight runs. 12.
What did you say?
I said, don't sell yourself short. There was 12 straight runs.
12, okay. Yeah. There was the one, I think, that we had that series where we went 8 straight, and then Tevin, you know, had that touchdown on the goal line there. I believe it might have been 8-12. I'm not sure. But, you know, during that series, being able to run the ball as efficiently as we were, we knew we were in a pretty good situation. Our defense was playing absolutely lights out. So just kind of controlling the clock and up front and being able to do what we had to do.
I saw you talked about Mike McGlinchey doing a nice job of bouncing back from a couple ugly plays in that game. I'm curious, just in terms of overall development, what have you seen from Mike since he got here? And are you impressed with the way he's continued to have an upward trajectory?
Yeah, I mean, I expect Mike to continue to develop and his career to continue to track on like the way it is because, you know, he's a professional. Football means, you know, the world to him, and he's going to work really, really hard at being the best he can be. And, you know, I saw that coming in as a rookie. And then, you know, the rookie year is always kind of a whirlwind. And I'm just kind of getting used to so many different things. And then, you know, he's taking that extra step the second year and is, you know, like I said before, I mean, it's just about the week of practice, and he puts in a ton of work and on preparation to be good on game day. And, you know, that little spiel that he had on the game, I think it was the third series, you know, that happens to every single offensive lineman, and you're not going to go out there and be absolutely perfect and just be able to bounce back. And I was actually really proud because, you know, he had struggled with that this rookie year. You know, it was, you know, for him to be able to develop and move on from that, and it was good to see.
Niners left tackle Joe Staley here on 95.7 The Game. You, like many of your teammates, banged up during the season. How important was the bye week for you physically and mentally?
You know, myself, it was always good to get a bye week, you know, in 35 years old and take an extra week of rest whenever I can get it. But I think it was more important for a lot of the other guys, you know, getting Quan back and D and Tart back there. And it was great to see our defense at full force. And, you know, it's always great to have that bye week, and we took full advantage of it, but we got a lot of good work in, and you know, we're ready to roll.
When was the last time you can remember having a bad week of practice and performing well on Sunday? I guess what I'm asking is, how good a litmus test is the middle of the week for the end of the week?
No, it's not so much like the practices as far as like, you know, well, it was a great practice because we complete all the balls, but, you know, we had a lot of holes in the running game or whatever in practice. It's more about like the mindset and how focused guys are during the week, and you know, making sure they completely understand the game plan and taking care of their bodies before and after practice. And you can kind of get a sense of, you know, how locked in the team is. And that's what's been special about this whole entire season is that you know, we've had every single week, it seems like, you know, guys are showing up, and I think that's a credit back to the front office and the coaching staff here, bringing in the right guys that really love football and love coming to work every single day for that preparation.
So last week we heard a lot about the Vikings' formidable front. This week it's Za'Darius and Preston Smith coming to town. What kind of challenges do those guys present for a tackle, and do you deal with both of them? Do they move around a lot? Give me a scout report on those two.
Yeah, they move around a lot, and Za'Darius actually moves around inside as well. I mean, he moves all over the whole entire offensive line, so he's a challenge for everybody. And they're really unique. You know, Preston's obviously a really, really long player. He's a big player, uses his hands really well. And Za'Darius is just, you know, really, really talented, and the guy's really explosive and strong. You know, plays the game the right way. So, you know, those are two guys that have obviously had huge seasons for them, and we're going to have to make sure that we're on our keys and our game plan.
In your experience playing a team a second time, whether it's in division or a team from outside of the division that you play again in the playoffs, how often do they show a dramatically different look or looks defensively? Or can you pretty much figure that the first time you see them, you see most of what they've got the second time?
Yeah, I mean, I think essentially, you know, teams are what they're based out of. They're, very rarely do you see a completely different defense or a, you know, completely different offense on the other side of the ball. So they're basing out of, you know, what their foundation is for their defense and stuff. But there are definitely times, and you see it all the time, where we get different looks. You might run a different package a lot more than they did the second time or the first time, and vice versa. So, you know, we look at that as, you know, the first game, you can look at it and watch the game and see what we did well, what we didn't do well. But this is going to be a completely different game, and we're expecting, you know, just a great team that's playing really good football right now coming in, and it's going to be a great talent for us.
Joe Staley of the 49ers. Look, we know what a play caller Kyle Shanahan is. Has there been a portion of the playbook that has been sealed saying break open only in case of NFC title game and there's some stuff coming razzle dazzle? Like, is there a play that you guys have been working on all week where you're just like, oh, God, come on?
Yeah, I mean, we got one where I'm split out wide. I'm running wide receiver.
Hey, tackle eligible
on the field.
I've seen you pick up first downs, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I can do it. No, every single week is different. You know, obviously it's completely evolving, and always Kyle's always a guy that doesn't stay stagnant as a play caller, and he's always trying to put guys in positions to be successful and sees how a defense trying to attack us and what we can do to attack them and take advantage of certain situations. So it's ever evolving and ever changing. So
we spend probably too much of our time on the radio debating Jimmy Garoppolo, specifically quarterbacks in general, but is Jimmy the guy? Is he the? It seems like your team has been convinced of that for a much longer time. So I'm curious, when did you know, hey, this guy's special with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Probably the first time he came in a football game for us in 2017. Guys, it's been special since he walked into the building. No one's ever had any kind of thoughts of anything but.
Is there something specific about him that everyone notices? I mean, how do you come to that conclusion without seeing a ton on the field?
The guy's really good and knows how to win football games. And that's the main objective as a football player. And you look at his track record and what he does, and then the way he prepares and comes into work every single week. I don't know much more what he can do.
Be honest, though, Joe. It doesn't feels great, baby. Seem just a little bit too generic to try to trademark.
You said what?
Doesn't feels great, baby feel like too generic to trademark? I think they're trying to get some.
Hey, he's worked a way around that, I guess, maybe.
There you go. I would like to trademark. Would you like fries with that? I would yeah. Love like a nickel
probably
every time.
Make some money off that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. What would Richard Sherman need to do to go down in history as a 49er and not a Seattle Seahawk?
Oh, I don't know how that works as far as like what team claims who, what players, all that stuff. I mean, obviously we have a goal of winning the Super Bowl this year. So, I mean, that definitely helped. But, that's for everybody else to decide.
You can hear the rest of that interview with Joe Staley with Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. .radio.com. Him talking about Jimmy Garoppolo toward the end there, that's what you've heard from Kyle Shanahan too and John Lynch about why they made the decision on Jimmy Garoppolo. A big talking point last week when going up to face the Minnesota Vikings was that Kirk Cousins originally was in Kyle Shanahan's plans to come to the 49ers. So why was that? Well, Kirk Cousins was in his master plan, and Kyle Shanahan had this certain game that he wanted to run with Kirk Cousins. And then they brought in Jimmy Garoppolo, and Kyle Shanahan was a little unsure. But then as soon as Jimmy Garoppolo stepped on the field, showed that even with the limited time that he was with Kyle Shanahan, that he understood the playbook, then he was his guy. So Joe Staley, clearly first time he stepped out on the field in 2017. I mean, that could just be a cliche. That could just be a player talking another player up. But I do think there's a sense of truth to what he just said. But also, want to talk about this defensive line for the Green Bay Packers and what they bring. Now, there are six different guys who were limited in practice for the Packers. Among them, you know, fullback Danny Vitale, Billy Turner, who's a guard and tackle. You had a couple who were just didn't participate, but that's because of veterans rest. You had Brian Baluga, who was limited because of veterans rest. You're going to see him actually return to right tackle, which is going to be a difference. He was out with an injury in that last game in week 12, which is partially why the defensive line was able to feast, because he's actually a pretty good pass blocker. You got Alan Lazard, who's one of their wide receivers, who was limited in practice. But one guy who was also limited, who I think could make a little bit of a difference in this game, that's defensive tackle, nose tackle, Kenny Clark. Now, I know that may not seem like much of a name to you, but the way they run their defense is they run that 3-4. And they have Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, and they count those two as linebackers, but really they turn into edge rushers. And what they do a lot of the time, you'll find, is that they stunt those linebackers so that instead of just rushing off the edge, one of the Smiths will be rushing up the middle. And Kenny Clark is that nose tackle. What's the primary job of a nose tackle? Not only to stuff the run and clog up the line, but also when you're trying to rush the passer, rush the quarterback, you're trying to take up double teams. That's something Kenny Clark does very well, and that's why Za'Darius Smith has 90-plus pressures, which is more than anyone in football. That's why Preston Smith is up there in sacks. That's why they both are in the double digits in sacks. It's because Kenny Clark is the type of guy that can clog up the middle. So it's going to be up to Laken Tomlinson, Ben Garland, and depending on who they put in, probably going to be Daniel Brunskill again at guard, other than Mike Person. But Daniel Brunskill, it's going to be up to those guys in the interior to communicate and figure out who's going to go one-on-one with one of the Smiths and understand those blitzes and what's to come on those plays. So Kenny Clark, he was limited at practice, but again, that's one of the, he's a nose tackle who's very important to that, who's very important to that team. From the 408, I knew Jimmy G was special when he dated the adult film star. that was a different time. That feels like it was ages ago. You remember that? I mean, we had Stephen A. Smith come out and say, "Porn star Jimmy." Like, it feels like that was forever ago when that happened. Now look where we're at. We're at the NFC Championship. We don't even care about that anymore. That's rarely even brought up. One thing that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have done is mix the old in with the new. And what I mean by that is you saw the faces that they had out there at Levi's Stadium in this game against the Vikings, whether it be Jerry Rice or Joe Montana, those type of guys. And Kyle Shanahan was asked about that at the podium, and he talked about kind of mixing the two. And this is something, as I'm kind of in the middle of being young but also being an adult, I'm 26 years old, so I don't really think about this too much. But Kyle Shanahan mentioned this, talking about coercing the two, the old and the new.
I mean, I think it helps with, you know, I mean, the age I'm in. I mean, I was born in 79, so I remember the Niners throughout the 80s growing up. And then I was here with my dad in 94 where they won that Super Bowl. So, you know, I think just being around it, I knew exactly how special it was. But I think people from my generation also, when they think of teams, the big time teams, I mean, it was the Niners, the Cowboys. When you got baseball, you got the Yankees and the Red Sox. And from growing up with me in basketball, it was always the Bulls. A little bit before the Celtics, but in Detroit. But I think you have those teams, and that's what the Niners have always been. And, you know, it had been a few down years, I think since 12 or whenever it was. But that does happen, too. And we knew we had to build this up and get back here, but we knew how good of an organization it was. And when you do have a good organization, usually those tough times don't last. If you can just stay the course and be a little bit patient.
And the younger guys nowadays –
these, I mean, you know, obviously guys like Emmanuel Sanders and Joe Staley, they've been around for a little bit, but guys like George Kittle, I mean, George Kittle is 4 months younger than I am. So I forget that these guys, they don't grow up necessarily watching all these teams. And, you know, I grew up watching, being able to watch Steve Young. I grew up being able to watch some of these 49er teams and you know, not exactly Joe Montana and Jerry Rice territory. I'm not exactly there. But I was able to grow up and watch these teams in the 90s and then in the early 2000s also. Mostly, like, my generation understands, when we think of 49ers, we think of the beginning of Alex Smith, the Mike Singletary era, then the Jim Harbaugh era with Colin Kaepernick, and that's really where we start, though, is the Alex Smith portion. When we were younger, though, these guys were just myths, but some of these guys, some of these players, they're so young that they don't even know and realize like who these guys were and some of the history of these teams. And I find that pretty fascinating. From the Chilton Auto Body text line, from the 925, from the 408, E-Man with the pick six. That's from Matador Mike talking about the way he wants to see this game end. And something that's interesting is how they deployed Akello Witherspoon and Emmanuel Mosley and Kaywan Williams in this last game. Akello Witherspoon in this last game against the Packers, rather. Akello Witherspoon had 49 snaps, whereas Kaywan Williams had 46 and Emmanuel Mosley had 44. And remember, Richard Sherman was still on the field, and Richard Sherman played 65. So they played just over half of the snaps. So really, they split time, which is something I find interesting. Emmanuel Mosley got picked on right at the start by Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, and Davante Adams had that taunting penalty on them. So that's just something to keep an eye on, I guess, as to how they deploy their cornerbacks. Coming up, Randy Cross at 6:30, Cam Inman at 7 o'clock, and Jeff Schwartz at 9:05. Thanks for joining me, everyone. Jolo and Dibs coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.